And now for something very, very wrong. The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, you guys were in Paris.
Frank and I were in Paris, Phil, for just about a week. We were there for a writers' conference. And I don't know if I told you, but you mentioned this when you came back. The people that panhandle.
It is interesting. They sit on the street there, whereas here the panhandlers walk up to you.
Well, they sit, but they have their eyes downcast at the pavement, and it gives the impression of a level of humility, I guess, where people might be more likely to give them money.
Well, what I saw were people, sometimes young women, sitting, and they have their hands over their heads with a plate.
Yes, they'll have some kind of a dish where people can put money, and a sign. So they're not speaking directly to the individual, and they're not looking at the individual. Now, you come back to the United States, Phil, and it used to be very common here in the United States. Individuals of import, individuals who were either celebrities or people who were very high up in business, I suppose you could just say important people or individuals that were part of the very rare ring of individuals who are important celebrities, financiers, these kinds of people. It used to be very common that food servers had a level of decorum where when they addressed them not looking directly at them. Now, this has gone by the boards in the last 30 years. We have a more egalitarian view. But I have talked to a lot of people, Phil, Rupert Murdoch, I talked to Paul Newman. You get off of a soundstage, you get off of a theater stage, you get out in front of the cameras, you go to have dinner for the evening, and the first thing that happens is the waiter or waitress not only is looking at you, but is talking in a familiarity. Now, I'm not saying people shouldn't be friendly, but there are a certain class of people where there should be a distinction.
All right, now that distinction, and we're talking with Margaret Gray about coming back from Paris where the panhandlers don't look at you. You're talking about waiters and waitresses.
Well, service people who have the habit of staring directly at individuals who are, constantly are in the public eye. And I said, I think the novelty of a waiter or waitress talking to the customer is fine, but I think it's hit its limits. And with a certain group of people, there was a time when you treated them with a little bit of decorum.
All right. Look, our number is 1-800-449-8686. I'm not entirely clear on what you're talking about. You said you went to the beach club for lunch.
When we got back, yes.
And the waiter looked directly at you.
Well, we had ordered lunch. And the young lady who took our order never directly made eye contact. Now, let me tell you why it's important for me. I do a nationally syndicated column. My husband is a very, very high-profile attorney. He is always doing interviews. I'm always either being quoted or people are talking about my column. So I've got enough to deal with. Now comes the waiter, and he's looking at me. And I said to him, I would really appreciate it if you wouldn't look at me. Paul Newman, I think, said it very well, Phil, the actor. Paul, I was talking with him, and he made a point to me a number of years ago. This was in the early 80s. He appreciated, after a long day of being in front of a camera, a waiter not looking at him, especially women who wanted autographs, because they looked, pathetic. He felt like he needed to give them an autograph. They also will stare at actors to see how actors do things, and then they are copying them. Jack Nicholson said that when he went to Laker games, people staring at him, staring at his mannerisms, he said it was almost as if they're taking a piece of you, and it's almost as if they are invading your privacy. It is a little, if the average person puts too much responsibility, I think, on the celebrity, and that's the problem.
All right, now there's something. What do you mean by responsibility?
When you're staring at us, when you're staring at popular people or important people, suddenly we're feeling, well, I better behave a certain way because they're going to use that as an excuse to behave stupidly. And so we have seen examples of this in the news. We have seen people blaming television shows for violence. We have seen people blaming the activities of celebrities for violence and for immorality. All right, if you want to blame them, if you want to hold them up, then I think the time has come for you not to be staring at them in public and stealing a little bit of them.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, the Phil Hendry Show here. Margaret Gray on the line, the nationally syndicated columnist. Her column, A Little Bird Told Me, appears in 150 newspapers around the country. When people are, when food servers or any, when you talk about service people are looking at actors, staring right at them, staring right at important people, celebrities, you're saying that they're copying their mannerisms.
And you're
saying that a lot of times they'll blame celebrities and they'll blame other people for violence.
Oh, absolutely, Phil. We hear it all the time. Well, you know, Sean Penn did this, so why can't I? You see, Winona Ryder stole, why can't I? We see that Jason Priestley got into a DUI situation. What's wrong with me doing it? All right, if you want to use that as the excuse, then what the actors and what the celebrities are saying, we'd rather not be blamed for that, so why are you looking at me? And I can tell you, when we had lunch, this young man comes over with my salad, and he looks right at me and says, do you want cracked pepper on your salad? And I said to him, you can ask that question just as easily looking at something other than me. And he said, I'm sorry, ma'am. And that's really what we're talking about.
All right, how do we recognize who the important people are? How do we...
Well, I don't think you need to ask that question. I just think you know who's important, and you know who the celebrity is, and you know who... If you're going to stare at a Jack Nicholson or whoever in public and take almost a piece of his soul, I think it was the Native Americans that said it very well, if you look at me long enough, you know the old saying, take a picture, it lasts longer. And the Native Americans brought that to our attention.
And what did the Native Americans say? I mean, they used to... Wasn't there some superstition taking a picture, it would steal part of the soul?
Yes. If you took the picture, it stole part of the soul. Well, if you stare at someone long enough, it's like taking a picture. And you're stealing a little bit of their heart. So what we're asking for is that food servers, waiters, waitresses, service people in hotels, to have your eyes averted, have them looking at the ground or away when you're checking someone in or when you're serving someone. Because I don't want to be blamed for something that I didn't do, and I'm in the public eye enough. And I think I speak for a lot of celebrities. Tim Robbins mentioned this to me when he went on a speaking tour, and he made a speech. Now what happens is people come up to him and start looking at him. And he said, you know, I'm on stage, I'm in front of a camera, I've got the biggest eyeball in the world looking me up and down, looking almost upskirt. And I don't need that.
All right, our number here with Margaret Gray, 1-800-449-8686. Food servers and waiters and waitresses are being put on notice that the way they talk familiarly, in a familiar way with celebrities or other important people, has got to come to an end. They are staring at them, talking to them like they know them. The old days, you would serve somebody their food, right, Margaret?
Well, whatever it was, yes.
And you'd be looking at the ground or you'd avert their eyes. Is it time now to return to that, since we blame celebrities for so much? Well, if we're going to blame them, then why are we staring at them and asking for their autograph? 1-800-449-8686, the number here in the Phil Hendry Show. What did Paul Newman say to you?
I'm sorry, Phil?
You mentioned you talked to Paul Newman.
He said he appreciated, after a long day of being in front of the camera, of people not looking at him, especially women, looking pathetically for an autograph. Paul used that word. He said how pathetic a lot of these women were looking for their autographs.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray back from France, and we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Now I'm a fag, and I'm going to have my skull sexed. Anything else, gentlemen?
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Margaret Gray is with us. You and Frank were in Paris, and the people that panhandle in Paris on the streets often will have their eyes averted, cast down at the sidewalk. And you are asking that food servers, waiters, waitresses, service people, concierge, bellmen, people who work a reception desk, for instance, at a hotel, have their eyes averted when they are dealing with, quote, important people. Now, you're saying you know, that...
Yeah, but still, I'm also not saying that they have to have their eyes averted the way the woman that was panhandling in Paris did. It doesn't have to be right straight at the ground, although in a lot of cases that's preferable. You just would rather they show that kind of respect. But this being America, I know you're not going to get people to do that. We would just like them to avert their eyes. So even if I was trying to look at them, they're looking away. And the other point to make is that I don't think you have to answer who are the important people. For instance, maybe in a city like Los Angeles or New York, people would say, well, who exactly are the celebrities because they see them all the time. But if you're talking about a smaller American city anywhere else, they know who the important people are. You talk about the movie crews that go on location. You tell the people in advance, we will have film actors. Let me repeat, we will have film actors in your area. Remember, avert your eyes, avert looking at them. I don't think you have to tell those people twice. They are part of the film going public. I don't want to say they're like trained dogs, because they're not, but they react the same way one might train an animal. In other words, don't look at the film actor. Let me repeat, don't look at the film actor. And it's been tested in a lot of markets. They've taken out newspaper ads. If one of the actors that is in the movie that they're making in your city comes into one of your restaurants, avoid eye contact, and I think they understand that.
Yeah, but I don't know that you've made the case successfully as to why they should avoid eye contact.
Well, still, I said...
No, other than the fact that you said they're, you know, they're in front of the camera, you quoted Paul Newman as saying, I'm in front of a camera, the world's biggest eye all day long, I don't need them looking at me. You also said women pathetically looking for an autograph, you know...
Well, Paul said they're looking at you, please, Mr. Newman, please. He said you want to just... It almost makes you want... It's a physical... almost a nausea, looking at these women with their lipstick smeared, thinking they look good, wanting their autograph.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 on the proposal that food servers, waiters, etc., begin to resume an old custom, which is they never made eye contact with the more important clientele. Here is Philip on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Philip.
Oh, hi. How you doing?
Very good,
sir. I just wanted to make one point, which was if you have whether it's a restaurant or a town, if you have a little town and the people aren't looking at a movie star,
yes,
that's worse. That's worse than looking at them.
Well,
because they know that the people are not looking at them, and so it's like this fake thing. And I think there's a middle ground. I've been in the bar and restaurant industry for like 20 years, and I've waited on a lot of celebrities. And there's a middle ground where you can what they really appreciate is to treat them like a normal person. And part of treating somebody like a normal person is looking at them.
Well, that's true.
If you want somebody that's subservient, like buy a slave, you know.
Well, that's true. However, most bartenders and you're different, Philip, because you've got experience. Most of these people don't have the experience, so they wind up looking at them as if they're looking at a freak in a freak show, you know. And the celebrities would just rather, well, just in that instance, just look at something else, not me. You know.
Oh, yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Especially if you go to these towns where they've got a film that's going on location. Now the actor goes into a restaurant, and the maitre d' and everyone is looking at him like he is the elephant man staring at the freak up and down.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen Paul Newman lately. Yes, he's old, but he doesn't look that much of a freak. You know.
Well, Mr. Newman still looks pretty good.
He looks wonderful for his age. But the fact is, you know what I'm saying, Philip. They would rather, just to be on the safe side, even if it was you, just don't look at them.
Yeah.
Well, how does a gentleman like... Let me ask,
I think there's a middle ground.
Yeah, Philip, let me ask
you
a question.
You can look at them or not look at
let
them.
Me ask, Phil, let me ask you a question. How does a gentleman like Philip, who's working the bar, go up to a guy like a Tim Robbins and say, Mr. Robbins, what would you like?
He's saying, Mr. Robbins, what would you like, while he's putting the coaster on the bar or
well,
the napkin.
I wouldn't even address him. Mr. Robbins. I'd feel him out. Like, you know,
you're not going to look at him, are you?
What's that?
Are you going to look at him?
I'm going to look at them.
Why would you do that?
If I felt that looking at him made him feel uncomfortable, then I wouldn't look at him.
But why would you even take that chance?
Because he's a human being. He's not a demigod. He's not something. He's not a person that's above me. He's not a VIP to me. I don't owe him anything. And you know what I'm saying?
It's like I see. Well, that's the problem, Phil.
I'm a human being, and I'm not going to give him the benefit of the doubt because I like his movies.
Yeah, but that's the problem. In a lot of ways,
I'm going to treat him like a human being.
No, but in a lot of ways, you are lower than him. See,
why am I lower than him?
Well, because, first of all, more people know who he is. No one is going to get upset
but
at you.
Excuse me, more people know who Hitler is than they know who Tim Robbins is. So does
well,
that make
yes,
Hitler
but
more
for
important?
The wrong reasons. They're going to put Hitler in prison. Tim Robbins, they're going to want to, you know what my son says? He always says, oh, they're always wanting to suck someone's butt, you know, which is crude.
But that doesn't make him more important than me.
I know, but...
See, that makes me want to spit in his food.
Well, no one wants to suck your rear end. Everyone wants to... You know what I'm saying, Philip? So,
all right, so what are you saying? Anybody, people could look at Philip, and it's no big thing. They look at Tim Robbins, and they're upsetting him.
Yes, exactly.
No, right, see, my philosophy is that I'm going to treat Tim Robbins like a human being, like I'm going to treat everybody. Everybody that sits at my bar, I'm going to treat equally.
That's a problem.
Why is that a problem?
Well, I'm sure you're a wonderful bartender, Philip, and treating everyone right is a good thing. But if you start getting that attitude with Tim Robbins, you're going to tighten his jaw. You know what I'm saying? You're going to make him angry.
He would appreciate that. Now let me make one point. Now, if somebody sitting next to Tim Robbins, was staring at him and bugging him, then I would say something to that person.
Yeah, a lot of good bartenders do that. I saw Kevin Costner one time at a bar, and he was getting bugged, and the bartender got up, backed everybody away from him. You know?
Yes, but did that bartender who backed the people off of Kevin Costner, Phil?
Yes.
Did he look at Kevin Costner?
I don't think he did.
He didn't look at Kevin Costner, and that's the whole thing.
All right, look, we got to move on, Philip. Thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Chris. Chris, go ahead.
Hi. Yes. I'm a chef in a hotel in Miami, and I'm driving home from work and listening to this lady talking, and I'm absolutely outraged.
Which hotel place are you in? I'm just curious. Which hotel are you in?
I'd rather not say.
Oh, all right. I love. There's many fine restaurants in Miami. I just wondered which one it was.
Okay, but I have to say the way that you have categorized us as human beings is absolutely disgusting. And for you to, like, belittle us and put us basically in line, us being in the hospitality industry are there to engage the guests, to welcome them into our establishment, and to make them feel comfortable and warm.
Absolutely.
And for you to say that, for us to look at somebody, you know what, that's ridiculous.
No, I'm saying the way to welcome an important celebrity is to just don't take the chance of looking at them.
That's ridiculous. That's our jobs, to welcome them into our place.
Well, but you don't want
to
step over the line.
Eye contact. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Wait a minute, Chris, you don't want to step over the line, do you?
Step over the line?
Yeah.
For what, being human being, like the other callers have said?
No, of course not. I'm sure you're a wonderful chef. That's what you do. I'm sure that your kitchen is well-run and is magnificent. So why take the chance of stepping way over the line and looking at them? That's what I'm saying.
You know what? If these people don't want to be in the public eye, they should change their profession.
Well,
there's a very good point.
No, that's
not a good
point.
If you think you're so great and, you know, you're such an important person, then maybe you should stay home and cook yourself dinner.
Let me ask you a question, if I could. Chris is going table to table, as I've seen many good chefs do. Maybe it's a point in the evening where the chef comes out of the kitchen, he goes table to table, introduces himself.
Absolutely.
All right. He comes to your table. He says, Mr. and Mrs. Gray, I'm Chris. I'm the chef.
Well, I'm saying I would be delighted to meet him. I'm wondering if he has to stare at me, though. Are you looking at me? Chris, are you looking at the people then, or what are you doing?
Absolutely. I am making direct eye contact because I am speaking directly to you.
That's a Category 4. That's all I'm saying.
A Category 4?
What is a Category 4?
No, I'm talking about going over the line. It is what we call a Category 4, where you begin to, you know, you're rating the restaurant.
Okay.
I'm all ready to give Chris's restaurant a 4 spoons or a 5 spoons. Now he goes into a Category 4 type behavior, and I've got to drop it back.
Well, you're going to start bagging his restaurant because he looked at you?
We're finding out whether these people are trained or not.
Trained? Well, you know, I've been in the industry for 20 years now.
Uh-huh.
You know, well-educated in my profession. And
but you still look at people. That's troubling.
Absolutely.
Right.
And, you know, I do TV shows, too. I do cooking shows. And for you to say that you're, like, so much better than everybody is making me sick.
I'm not saying I'm better than everyone. I'm saying...
Yet you've come right out and said that you're better than everybody.
All right, yes, I'm better.
That you're more important than everybody.
Is this Emerald?
Emerald?
Yes, is this Emerald?
That's so funny, because, you know, I respect Emerald. I don't like what he does, but I respect
him. Well, I thought you said you did television, so I don't know who it could be.
All right, look at Chris. Thanks. Continued success.
Thank you.
I say the same thing to Chris. Chris, continued success. While you're staring at people...
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Now I understand, Margaret, you're at the Dijon restaurant on Pacific Coast Highway right now in Malibu.
Yes, we're over here, and it is a place that is phenomenal. Very Mediterranean, very Northern Italian, but also a very Mediterranean feel as well. And right now the waiter is coming over. Now you listen to me, I will order you. I would like the Caesar salad and bruschetta, please. And I'd like the last of your house rent, yes. At no time did he look at me. At no time. Now, is that my imagination?
Oh, you just ordered from the guy.
Yes. At no time did his eyes meet mine. Now, what's the secret? Well, I'll tell you what the secret is. I'm well known, and many of the people that come here are well known. Waiters know that you don't look at well-known people because it only angers them, makes them upset, and otherwise does not guarantee eventually a return to your restaurant. And eventually the word gets out that you're sort of low class and your establishment's low class. Do you want that? What restaurant can run that risk? Can run the risk of staring at someone like me or some other celebrity?
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Matt, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray. We're talking about waiters who have tended to look at celebrities and important people in restaurants.
Hi, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Margaret, I've got a question. In your in your column, a little bird told me, do you discuss mostly gossip, celebrity gossip?
We do a lot of that, yes.
Okay, so what you're telling me is that you're part of the culture making celebrities freaks and icons, but you don't want people to look at them and
well,
make them freaks
wrong
and
with,
icons?
There's nothing wrong with asking for their autograph. I'm just talking about making eye contact in a disrespectful way, that's all.
Ma'am, I've been around quite a ways, and I have to tell you that where I come from, not making eye contact with somebody is a sign of disrespect. Not making eye contact with somebody is a way to show that you are weak, feeble, and not worthy of their attention.
Unless you're talking about individuals in the upper social strata. That was the point I was trying to make.
Would you look at
Alex Trebek?
Are you familiar?
No, I'm asking you a question. Would you look directly at Alex Trebek?
Depends. Yeah, I guess I would, yes.
Big mistake.
Well, what do you mean a big mistake?
Okay, ma'am, here's my question.
If this guy walks into this man's shoe shop or whatever he does and says, yeah.
Shoe shop. Nice.
Well, I don't know. What do you do for a living?
I'm in the video game business.
All right, he walks into your store and says, I want to buy a camera.
I don't run a store, but
And you're looking at him. He's going to say, why are you looking at me? You can hear what I'm saying.
Ma'am, are you familiar with the ivory tower concept?
The ivory tower concept.
The ivory tower concept.
Who wrote that?
Well, the ivory tower concept, ma'am, is something most commonly used to refer to academia, that you've lived too long in your own world and separation, that you're not dealing in the real world anymore. You're a case class example of this. You've lived, beyond any
normal
reality.
But you don't understand that. I'm trying to tell you about the real world of celebrities. You are standing on a railroad track. Waiting for a super chief to mow you over every time you look at a celebrity. I'm trying to save you years of heartache.
The super chief hasn't run for years. Used to work
in
the railroad.
Well, I'm just telling you. Well, I'm sure that you did. Were you a porter?
That's very funny.
Well, exactly. I mean, he thinks he knows more about it than I do.
Here's the idea, ma'am.
Were you the guy that would walk around with a cream of wheat?
I was the guy who would walk around with a cream of wheat.
Yeah.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Well, I can tell you, back in the days when they did have trained porters, they never dared stare at me.
I'm sure back in the days when they owned slaves, they were quite nice.
No, we're not talking about slavery.
All right, let's look at Matt.
What you're asking for is some kind of legal. You're talking about being defined
Margaret,
as reality.
Well,
that doesn't exist anymore.
I'm just simply saying, when I ask for cracked pepper on my salad, you don't have to look at me when you give it to me.
Ma'am, Robin's probably learned you're a crazy old bag, and you shouldn't be bothered.
Oh, really? Is Susan Sarandon a crazy old bag? She's often complained to me late at night. Why are they looking at me?
All right.
Because people like you write about them
and make them famous.
Icons.
All right, Matt, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. What do you mean late at night Susan Sarandon calls you?
I'm telling you, I have contact with a lot of people in the celebrity, in the movie business. And the thing that bothers them more than anything else is they can't walk into a 7-Eleven and get a piping hot cup of coffee without the, I heard one of the actors, and I don't want to say who, he says, without the dot hit behind the counter. looking me up and down like I'm meat on the hoof.
Was that a woman or a man that said that?
It was a woman.
A woman?
Yes.
You don't want to say who?
No, I do not.
I can't walk into a 7-Eleven without the dothead behind the counter looking me up and down like I'm meat on the hoof.
Yes, that's what she said.
It was Susan Sarandon, wasn't it?
No, it was not Susan. No, I don't want to say that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Rich, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to tell you, you seem a little bit off the wall when it comes to this. I live and work in West Palm Beach. I'm a realtor, so I've met many celebrities and sold homes to them. They are no different, and you seem to think that they're this special kind of breed of superpower being.
Well, not really.
And, what?
Not really, no. I'm just saying, in your business, if you're looking them up and down, you're making a mistake. Are you looking at them, or what are you doing?
Of course I am looking at them. I look at everybody.
I'm just saying,
you don't look at them in the eyes, they're going to probably not buy a house from you.
No, no, no. I mean, are you looking at them with that look on your face like, gee, aren't you great, all that?
Of course not, because you know what? They aren't. They're no different than you and I, and you seem to be the one putting them up on some pedestal. Sylvester Stallone, they're just normal people, and they don't give really a crap if people look at them. They'll start complaining when people don't look at them, and you seem to have it backwards.
No. You don't know then. Sylvester Stallone has a standing rule in his home. No one can look at him in his home, his domestic servants.
Where'd you hear that?
Then you got a pretty good rapport with him. When I had met the guy, he's just an average guy, and you know
what?
Are
you telling me you've looked Sylvester Stallone right in the eye?
Of course.
All right,
and
we're talking
about
Category 6.
And am I going to get in trouble now from you, or you're going to debate me on it?
No, I'm not going to debate you. I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to tell you that's a Category 6.
Well, you're Category 6. You can take and put in your book and write your diary, so maybe after your psychologist, you know, figures out what's wrong with you, you can look back and journal it and say, man, I was pretty far out there in left field, because they're just people.
No, I'll look back into my journal on why it is Rich is now selling trailers in Okeechobee, and we'll find out the day that you said you looked at Sylvester Stallone.
Well, then I'm destined to be selling mobile homes and trailers, you know, but
well, I don't think that's going to happen from a look in the eye from a celebrity.
No, I'm saying you're looking at him and staring and copying what he does.
Wait a minute. I got to ask a question here. No, I'm going to jump in here. Rich is a businessman. He's transacting one of the most complicated business deals that an individual citizen can be involved in, and that's the purchase of property, because there's so much involved. How do you not look a man or a woman in the eye while you're talking to them about the house they're buying?
Look, it's all on the contract, Phil, and all of the fine print. Why does Rich have to look Sylvester Stallone up and down like he wants to know where he buys his shoes?
I don't do that. Why would you say that? I don't do that.
Are you sure?
I think you're the one who's got actor envy, and you're a female, and you've got actor envy.
All right, so
you need some help.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, fine.
What kind of shoes do you wear? That makes sense. What kind of shoes do you wear?
On any given day,
I could wear
cowboy boots. I can wear...
Well, let's say today at work, your work shoes are what?
Today is... I'm a realtor. I have Tommy Hilfiger jeans on.
All right.
I have cowboy boots on
and my shirt with my logo of my office.
And
there you
go.
And that's exactly what Sylvester Stallone wears. So you're copying him. You know, Sly may think you're a little bit like...
No, if I'm copying Sylvester, I'm not copying him.
You're looking at him in a way that is homoerotic.
Yeah, well,
all right.
Okay. I'm homoerotic.
I don't know. Yeah, okay.
How about neurotic?
Well, I'm just saying, if he thinks you're coming onto him, he'll break you in half.
All right.
You know what? He's a little guy, and I'm not afraid of him. You know, I've done my share of fighting before, too.
You
really need some counsel.
So it's
now,
like that,
I got
that,
a good counselor.
Right,
if you ever come to West Palm, I'll set you up with a good counselor.
You got a free counselor?
We heard what you said. Homoerotic, wearing the cowboy boots. You got this guy copying.
Look, you're not scared of him? You're not scared of Sylvester Stallone?
No, I am not.
Are you for real?
Absolutely.
All right.
Why should I be?
Exactly,
I think
Rich.
You
no,
are.
Not a problem, Rich. Rich, thank you very much for your comments.
I don't think he's for real.
All right. Why would anybody give a... You're going to look at a guy if you're going to transact business with a guy.
You don't have to stare at someone and go, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Like you're pretending you're listening to them.
This guy's a real estate guy, man. He's got to know what it is the cat's talking to him about because he's going to want to get the guy what he wants him to get.
Oh, bro, you know, I feel sorry for you. You used to be a nice guy. Boy, that's too bad. I said cracked pepper, didn't I? Don't look at me. Are you for real?
All right, get her out of here before I drive over there to the Dijon restaurant and set fire to it. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Pilot high and deep.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
What do you mean?
I want you to repeat to me what you just said.
Well, we're back on the air, by the way. 1-800-449-8686. I said I was in Nobu, which is a fish restaurant.
I know what it is, Phil.
I'm letting my audience know. It's a sushi bar over in Malibu.
All right, so you let your audience know. Okay, here's your iron cross. Now move on, yes?
Look it, ma'am, I won't even tell the story if I'm going
to... I have to know what happened.
I saw Cindy Crawford and Kenny G or somebody, and I saw Lenny Kravitz at the tables next to me.
Did you look at them? The question I asked you...
Yes, I did.
Did they see you looking at them?
I guess.
Sweet Christ on a sled. Phil, I have told you... Oh, boy, that's Category 7.
Get out of here with Category 7. What does that mean?
It means you're in a world of hurt. It's a big do sandwich, and we all got to take a bite. I told you, cracked pepper...
Yeah, okay. It's a big do sandwich, and we all got to take a bite. 1-800-449-8686. James, go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hello, ma'am.
Yes, James.
Ma'am, my name's James.
Yes.
I'm 66 years old now, and I've owned a large T-shirt company here in Tennessee.
Yeah.
And I used to travel with, it's the name of the company was Showbiz Shirts. And I used to travel with Paul McCartney. I've been with Leonard Skinner, Marshall Tucker, Charlie Daniels. You know, a lot of the top groups. And I've been all over the United States, and I've met celebrities.
Were you looking at them all through that trip?
I've looked at all of them right straight in their eyes.
Let me ask you a question. Did you sell tank tops?
Did what?
Did you sell or did you provide for these bands at any time tank tops?
No.
Thank God.
I sold T-shirts and, you know, all the, band, you know,
all the
company,
band,
you know, and
band
all
straps?
The emblems and logos
did
and stuff
you
like that.
Did you sell band straps and hem straps?
No, I sold T-shirts.
What are those? What are band straps?
It's something that the bands use.
No, ma'am. I was in the advertising business.
Oh, I got you. Okay, so you didn't sell equipment or any party equipment.
I've worked in NASCAR. I've met Richard Petty. I've met Donnie Allison, Bobby Allison. All the big people. And I look them right straight in their eyes and talk to them like a human being. I've never had them look me down, and I've never looked them down.
Let me tell you
I'm a hillbilly. And when I talk to somebody, I look right straight in their eyes, and I want them to look in my eyes
and then they go,
to me.
Do you like the fact that they walk away cursing you under their breath?
Ma'am?
What do you mean cursing him under their breath? What do you mean by that?
I mean, he may think that he's making a friend by staring them in the eye, but they go away feeling violated.
No, ma'am, I treat them with respect.
They go away feeling raped.
Ma'am, I treat them with respect by looking in their eyes. I don't look down the floor
when I'm
talking to
somebody. All right, let me ask you, are you looking at both eyes or just one?
Listen, because you write a newspaper... thing. What makes you think you're God's gift to man?
I don't. I just don't appreciate someone staring me right in the one eye.
It's not staring, honey. When somebody's talking to you, look you in the eyes.
I want to ask a question here, James. What do you mean? You asked him, did he look in both eyes or one?
Did you look in both eyes or one? That's what I'm asking.
Well,
When you met Charlie Daniels, did you look right into one eye or both eyes?
I looked in both their eyes.
Boy, that's a problem.
Yeah, I'd look right straight in your eyes. And talk to you just like a... I'd rather
that you not look.
I don't want to disrespect you by calling you lady, but lady, I'd look right straight in your eyes when I talk to you.
As long as you're not looking into my eye.
I don't look at your thighs, but hey...
No, not my thighs,
they're
my
probably
eye.
Not worth looking at anyway.
I got a guy one time, he tried to look at my brown eye.
All right, that's it. Thank you, James. Thank you very much, sir. And continued success in your... It sounds like you had an interesting life. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Yeah, he blew you off.
Get out of here. Whore. What a whore. Hey, Frank, get rid of her, man. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
My wife would hang on me like a blue-ass baboon in heat, and I couldn't have it, I tell you.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Our website is www.philhenryshow.com, and you can also go to georgewbushesgod.com for any political input you want from this program. I don't know if it's anything you're looking for, but that's where a lot of our political point of view is proffered, to be alliterative about it. And let's see, what else? Well, our souvenir shop's wide open. Just burning some time, baby, before we have to go to the break, because it's just about 20 seconds away. However, coming up next hour on the Phil Henry Show, Dr. Jim Sadler. Dr. Jim Sadler in trouble with the African Americans because he refuses to perform, as a dentist, teeth whitening on them. We'll be right back.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show.